Chapter 4. The Commune. Mara Motswe sat in her office at the number one ladies' detective agency and examined the ring on her left hand. The assistant in Judgment Day Jewelers had wanted Mr. J.L.B. Matacone to spend a lot of pula on an engagement ring with a much bigger diamond. But Mara Motswe was not interested in the size of the stone. A tear ran down her face as she thought of the man she would marry. Nobody had ever given her anything like that ring before, she thought. He would be a good husband for her, and she would try to be a good wife for him. She shook her head and turned her thoughts to the day's business, Mrs. Curtin's case. She did not really want to look for the son. Why look for information about the past if it would only bring unhappiness? But since she had agreed to help, she should start at the beginning. This was the commune where Burkhart and his friends had started their farm. She probably would not discover anything, but she might get a feeling for what had happened. At least she knew where to find the commune. It was near Silokwalela, a village in the west, not far from Molopolole. She left early on Saturday morning in her little white van. There was already a stream of traffic, mostly people coming into town for shopping. But a few people were leaving town as well. Mara Motswe slowed down. There was a woman at the side of the road waving her hand for a ride. Mara Motswe stopped her van and called out, "Where are you going, Ma?"
"To Silokwalela," said the woman, pointing down the road.
"I am going there too. I can take you all the way."
"You are very kind, and I am very lucky," said the woman.
As they travelled, Mara Motswe spoke with the woman, who was called Ma Tsbargo. She knew a little about the farm. People had thought it would be a success, but it had failed. Ma Tsbargo was not surprised at that. People often give up if things are too difficult.
"Is there somebody in your village who can take me to the farm?" asked Mara Motswe.
Ma Tsbargo thought for a moment.
"Yes, there is a friend of my uncle who had a job there."
When they arrived at Silokwalela, Ma Tsbargo took Mara Motswe to a well-kept house on the edge of the village. They waited at the gate while Ma Tsbargo called out,
"Ma Potsane, I am here to see you."
A small, round woman came out and let them in. Ma Tsbargo explained to her why they were there.
"Yes," said Ma Potsane. "My husband and I both worked out there. But then things went wrong. People stopped believing in what they were doing and went away."
"Was there an American boy?" asked Mara Motswe.
"He disappeared. The police came and looked for him. His mother came too, many times. One time, she brought a game tracker. He was a little man, and he ran round like a dog. He looked under stones and smelled the air, but he found no sign that wild animals had taken the boy."
"What do you think happened to him?" asked Mara Motswe.
"I think he was blown away by the wind and put down somewhere far away. Maybe in the middle of the Kalahari."
Ma Tsbargo looked at Mara Motswe, but Mara Motswe looked straight ahead at Ma Potsane.
"That is possible, Ma," she said. "Could you take me out to the farm? I can give you 20 pula."
"Of course," said Ma Potsane. "I do not like to go there at night, but in the day it is different."
Marta Spargo went to her home, and Mara Motswe and Ma Putsane left the village in the little white van. The dirt road was rough, and Mara Motswe had to drive slowly. The road ended, and Mara Motswe stopped the van under a tree. There had probably been 11 or 12 houses at one time, but now most of them had fallen down. She and Ma Potsane walked to the main farmhouse. It still had a roof and doors, and glass in some of the windows.
"That is where the German lived, and the American, and the South African woman," said Ma Potsane.
"I should like to go inside," said Ma Ramotswe.
They entered the house, feeling the cooler air.
"You see, there is nothing here," said Ma Potsane.
Ma Ramotswe was not listening. She was studying a piece of yellowing paper which had been pinned to a wall. It was a newspaper photograph, a picture of some people standing in front of a building. She pointed to one of the people in the photograph.
"Who is this man, Ma?" she asked.
Ma Potsane looked closely at the photograph.
"I remember him. He worked here too. He came from Francistown. His father was a schoolteacher, and this one, the son, was very clever. He was friendly with the American, but the German didn't like him."
Ma Ramotswe gently put the photograph into her pocket. They went through the other rooms of the house. Some of them had no roofs, and the floors were covered with leaves. It was an empty house, except for the photograph. Ma Potsane was pleased to leave the house, and showed Ma Ramotswe the place where they had grown vegetables. The land had become wild again. All the wooden fences had been eaten by the ants. Only the ditches were left, old and unused.
"All that work," said Ma Ramotswe. "And now this."
"But this always happens," said Ma Potsane. "Even in Gaborone. How do we know that Gaborone will still be here 50 years from now? Perhaps the ants have plans for Gaborone as well."
Ma Ramotswe smiled.
"Will the number one ladies' detective agency be remembered 20 years from now?" she wondered. "Or Tlokwen Road Speedy Motors?"
"Probably not," she decided. But was that very important? She had come here for information about something that had happened many years ago, and she had found nothing, or almost nothing. It seemed that the wind had blown everything away. She turned to Ma Potsane.
"Where does the wind come from, Ma?" she asked.
"Over there," Ma Potsane said, pointing to the trees and the empty sky to the Kalahari. "Over there."
Ma Ramotswe said nothing. She felt that she was very close to understanding what had happened, but she did not know why.